Welcome into the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I am Kyle Ireland, and alongside me, as always, is the one and only Sam Farnsworth. Sam, we had a short conversation the other night about the new Mountain Dew, and I'm bringing it up because we love Mountain Dew on this show. We need to get them sponsoring the show. Really, that's like the next step that we need to take. But I want to get your take because it is now October, and it felt a little rushed. Like, I didn't want to lean into the Mountain Dew conversation last week because it wasn't October yet. But we are now in the month of Halloween. Voodoo is out, and we were talking about the new flavor, which, not to spoil it for anybody, but it is announced. So we're going to say what it is. It's the Cherry Airheads. Which I actually thought was pretty cool with the marketing where they had like the It Red Balloon and stuff. I don't know if you saw that, but what have you thought so far about the Voodoo flavor this year?
So my very first reaction on my first taste of it was Starburst. Instantly Starburst. But then I was trying to figure out, okay, it's a red one. Is this the pink one or the red one? And I took another sip. I'm like, that's a cherry Starburst right there. And then I texted you about it. I'm like, do you know? And you knew. And you told me Airheads. I'm like, well, that's pretty close.
I don't know if it's a good thing that I knew that. Like, maybe I should have been in the position where I was like, I don't know, maybe I need to take another sip as well. The fact that I knew that already is probably a personal issue. I have a problem. But yeah, you like it?
I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's pretty mild, I think, tasting, right?
It's better than some of the other ones they've had.
It is. I 100% agree. And hey, good. Awesome. It's been fun. One thing I like about Mountain Dew is all the new flavors, but I don't like them having much staying power either. Although you know me,
I want the
pitch black. That needs to be out there always.
I'm glad you didn't say the flaming hot right there. That one needed to go.
That was interesting. That was an interesting one, but yeah, these Voodoo Halloween ones, it's fun. Have fun with it for a month and then move on.
Yeah, we need to work on the sponsorship deal. I think that needs to happen. Yards After College presented by Mountain Dew. I think it'd be pretty fun. We'll see what we can do to work on that. But no, Sam, we had an exciting week of NFL football this week. Week 4, it's crazy. We're already a quarter of the way through the season. If you want to kind of lean into that, it's where you kind of start really getting an idea about who teams are and kind of, you know, which teams you're worried about, which teams you're like, hey, these guys are definitely Super Bowl contenders, MVP odds start kind of coming out, all that fun stuff really takes to, you know, a solid shape about a month into the season, which is where we're at right now. But as far as the local guys are concerned, my gosh, I mean, we talked about this, I think it was last week, maybe it was a couple of weeks ago, how there's usually like an ebb and flow to like the season for these guys. Like, maybe there's like a down week and then we'll have like three awesome weeks. Like, it has been like just bangers back to back to back to back to start the year. We've had awesome weeks for the local guys. And I think we should definitely start off with Sunday Night Football. We need to talk about Sunday Night Football week 4. It was the Jets, the Chiefs, you know, in the shadows of New York City. Taylor Swift's there, Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively. I mean, it had everything, right?
Right.
But Zach Wilson, kind of a little bit of a redemption story, I think. And, you know, maybe I'll share my opinion here in a moment. But what are your initial reactions to how Zach played, what you saw from him, both, you know, on the field, off the field, after the game, the Mahomes comments, like all of that stuff? Just give me your general takeaways, Sam, from Zach Wilson's Sunday Night Football performance.
So first of all, I joked in my script last night on the air when we were showing the highlights. I'm like, Taylor Swift came to the game for Travis Kelce, but stayed for Zach Wilson. So, I mean, overall, I'm pleased with his performance. I'm hoping this is a step out of the shadows, out of the, I don't want to say the darkness, but you know, the, whatever it has been, it's been holding him back. That's been intimidating him. And whether that's the coaching, whether that's the scheme, whether that's them not allowing him to have free rein, things like that. I hope this was a step in that direction for him, because there were still moments, as well as he played on Sunday night, there were still some moments, some throws that I feel like there's a little bit of hesitancy there. You know, he had some wide open guys and the throw was a little behind or something like that. And I don't know if it was hesitancy or just nervous to make a mistake, right? Instead of putting it where maybe a little more dangerous spot, but where the receiver had a better chance at catching it, he put it in a safer spot, which might've been behind the receiver. And there's a couple of those, but overall played very well. His touchdown pass was his, both of his touchdown passes were great, great throws right where they had to be. That second one was outstanding. His scramble and just that show of I'm not going to be denied getting that 2-point conversion. That was outstanding. And then at the end of the game, when he, you know, dropped the snap and fumbled, and that ended up being the difference maker. Oh, I can't say that ended up being the difference maker, because we don't know what the drive, how the drive would have ended,
sure.
it certainly gave the ball back to the Chiefs. They were able to, you know, take care of business from there. And, you know, you see Zach on the sideline there talking to, I think it was the punter, who had his arm around him, and Zach said, you know, I lost the game. Something like that. I lost the game is basically what you could see his lips, read his lips. He said something like that. And a part of me is like, good, own it. I hope he's saying that because he wants to own it. I hope he's not genuinely rattled still. Does that make sense? I hope that what he's saying isn't a sign of him losing confidence and actually being rattled, but more of just that outward show of I'm going to own this, because that's important. Own it. Move on. But I hope that one play didn't rattle his entire night. He was great the rest of the night. So hopefully this is just that first step. And then the next step, hopefully next week, he comes in throwing with even more confidence, a little more freedom from the play calling, and it just goes from there. I mean, Robert Saleh said after the game, if Zach plays like this moving forward, we're going to win a lot of football games. And I agree.
So you were out sick last week, and so we didn't have a chance to talk about it. But 2 weeks ago on the podcast, I said, hey, let's see how Zach does against, you know, a Patriots team that he's faced four other times, that he was benched because of a play, his play against them last year. He goes out, has a terrible performance. Just, it wasn't a good game. Like, granted, like, it wasn't a good game for the entire team, but like, just looking at Zach in particular, he didn't play well in that game. The offense was not good. They only scored 10 points. Just wasn't a good performance. And all the haters came out again in really strong fashion this week. I mean,
of course.
You've got Joe Namath, you've got OJ Simpson, you've got, you know, it feels like the weight of the world's on you even more so than I'm sure. Like, none of us know exactly how Zach Wilson has felt with all this pressure. And that was kind of what Chris Collinsworth was saying last night on the broadcast. He was like, none of us really understand, like, the scrutiny that Zach Wilson has been under in New York. And, you know, a lot of that comes with him being the number two overall pick, but it also has to do with the fact that, like, they have given him chances. Like you've said, like, I mean, the sample size is out there now. Like, he's played a number of games. He's started for, you know, about two seasons worth of games. And it's just to have him go out on Sunday Night Football under the lights, you know, Sunday Night Football is the number one game of the week, most eyeballs on it. It's the defending Super Bowl champions, all of that stuff. And to go out and, like, really the first quarter, like, did not look good. I was like, oh no, like, they're in for it. You know, they even talked about it last night. You watched the game as well. They're down 17-0. And then Zach kind of starts putting it together. They get a little drive going. They score that touchdown before halftime. And then, you know, it was that interesting decision where they decided to kick the field goal before halftime. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, you would feel good about them going in down, you know, only, what was it? 5 points at halftime. It would have been 20 to 15 at halftime.
Right.
Had they made that field goal, they missed the field goal. It doinks off the upright. And it's like, oh man, like, they just can't get over the hump. But to have him come out in the second half, even, you know, with that kind of like let down at the end of the second quarter, I thought it was really impressive, and I thought we saw a lot of growth from Zach. There were some throws that, like, Chris Collinsworth even said, like, Oh, like those throws, they would have been touchdown passes by Aaron Rodgers or whatever, like when he threw that one that was like a low diamond
Yeah,
pass and whatnot. I thought that his teammates, for the most part, played well around him, but there were some times where, like, I'm still like, that Jets offensive line isn't good. Like, it just isn't good. It's probably a bottom five unit in the league, in my opinion. He's got some wide receivers and tight ends that, like, have just they've dropped passes, and like Zach definitely needs to work on his ball placement. He's not as accurate as he needs to be. But like to have the performance despite all of that, like all those negative things around him, I just thought it was really impressive the way that he played amongst all the pressure and the eyes that were on him last night. But after the game, I watched the Jets had like their obviously like their press conference thing that they normally do, but they also had like their like team reporter or whatever. You can go on YouTube and watch it. He had like a 5 minute little one-on-one with their team reporter. I don't remember his name, excuse me, but he basically just looked just downright, sad about the fact that he lost the game, quote unquote, right? Like we didn't see that from him last year. He didn't take the blame for the performance that he had against, I believe it was the Pats game, that he basically had that terrible press conference and said, "Hey, like, I don't believe that that was my fault. It wasn't on me," kind of a thing. And last night, it was the complete opposite of that. And that's where we saw growth from Zach, not only on the field, but off the field. And, they're going to play your terrible Broncos next week, Sam. It's in Denver,
It's a
which is
chance.
it's a tough place
He's
to
got a
play,
chance.
but I think him playing against a team that I want to say I saw something last night on Twitter, and so maybe this isn't accurate. I'm sourcing something that may be false, so don't hold me to this, but I thought I saw something last night that said that the Broncos through the first four games are playing defense at like a historically bad level. Like their DVOA stuff is like super bad, which is kind of weird because everybody thought the Broncos defense was awesome last year. But I'm interested to see how he follows up this performance, because if he can start stacking games together, Sam, and I know that I'm going long here on this, but I want to see multiple games in a row where we start seeing like, hey, like this is a progression as opposed to like a roller coaster. I don't want ups and downs. So that's kind of my opinion
Steady
on it.
progression. Don't go backwards from this performance. Don't go backwards. Curious, one just kind of a side note to all of this. Obviously, Taylor Swift had a big effect on this, but we just got this in just moment while you were talking. Chiefs Jets Thriller on NBC and Peacock, the most watched Sunday show. I'm not talking about football game. The most watched Sunday show since Super Bowl 47. It
Wow.
averaged 27 million viewers on Sunday Night Football, Chiefs and Jets. So Zach, to play the way he did with that many people watching is a good thing. Hopefully it starts to turn the narrative.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. That's a lot of eyeballs. I mean, I'm sure the Swifties definitely helped that number. And I'm one of them. I'm a Swiftie, Sam. I like Taylor Swift. So, let's talk about one more former BYU player who had an outstanding game once again before we take a quick break, and that is former BYU and Orem High wideout Puka Nacua, who just continues to tear up the league. The Puka Nacua show continues, Sam. He, my gosh, he's had three games out of his first four where he's had 100 yards receiving. He ended up finally getting into the end zone for the first time yesterday. We're recording on Monday, October 2nd. And Sam, it's a bittersweet moment for me here. Like, I was happy for Puka, but he was playing against my Colts. They were up 23-0 on Indianapolis, and I was down and out on my team, man. It was a bummer. And then they storm back. They send the game into overtime. They actually had a chance to win it in regulation, but they don't touch the ball in overtime, which we can talk about the NFL overtime rules another time, Sam. But and jeez, just wide open, Sam. Puka Nacua gets in the end zone. Just everything after the game was super cool with him getting the game ball from Sean McVay and how happy he was, FaceTime with his mom, all that stuff. But what have you thought about Puka Nacua and just like his outstanding play that he's had just continue. I mean, he's really just become Stafford's number one guy. He looks like Cooper Kupp out there.
100%. So I'm going to start by saying this. I see this on Twitter a lot by BYU fans, and I'm going to call them out. And if you have beef with what I'm about to say and you're listening to this podcast or you listen to this podcast, come at me. I don't care. At me. Find me on Twitter. I'm not hiding. I want
to
hear.
I'm excited to see what this opinion is.
I want to hear why BYU fans think that so many BYU fans are saying, we knew this all along. This is who we knew. We knew this is who he was. Why is this so shocking to everyone else? You know, no, everyone's sleeping on him. Look, no one was sleeping on Puka. I wasn't sleeping. I covered Puka here in Utah at BYU. I saw him when he played for University of Washington, taking on a University of Utah team a few years back. I'll tell you what, he is extremely talented. He is very good. I had him as a fourth-ish round pick going into the draft. He got picked fifth round. Fine. I knew he was an NFL talent. I think all of the people who've seen Puka before knew he was an NFL talent. 19 other wide receivers were taken before him. Fine. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Maybe a handful near the end there, you're starting to think, man, Puka, when's he going to start going? Some of these other guys are starting to go, when is he going to go? Look, it's all about fit in the NFL. You find the right fit and the right opportunity to blossom and grow, and you can succeed. And that's what Puka has found, and it's worked out outstanding, okay? I'm not saying Puka is not this good. He is. He's outstanding. But so this is my side beat here, is seeing all these fans, and I get it. Fans are going to fan. You're going to be a homer. It's all good. I don't mind. But don't tell me that you saw this happening for Puka Nacua in the NFL.
Yeah.
Nobody saw this happening for Puka Nacua in the NFL. And it is glorious what we're seeing too. 39 catches, 501 yards through four games. No one has started a career with those numbers before. He already has more catches than any player to start their career through five games. Reggie Bush has that record. I think it was 34, 36, something like that. Puka's already got the five-game record. So he can sit out next week, and he's got that record already. His I did a little math yesterday, last night, 125 yards per game, obviously through four games. Anquan Boldin, I think, has the rookie record, like 1,300 yards his rookie year. He had the record for yards through four games up until Puka's game, right?
He was amazing too. His rookie year, he was awesome.
So his 1,300 yards that year averages at about 90 yards per game. So I'm just saying, like, what Puka's doing is amazing. It's incredible. I don't see it stopping anytime soon. I'm sure it'll cool down a little bit, but he deserves everything that he's getting, every opportunity he's getting. And I say full steam ahead, ride this Puka train.
Yeah, I think the thing that you're definitely alluding to, Sam, is like people thought that Puka was good. People didn't think he was historic. Like,
no,
this, like the numbers that he's putting up to start his career are like off the charts. It has never been done before. Like breaking records every single game that you're playing, like that's something that just doesn't happen. So nobody could say that, like, oh yeah, like we expected it. I do think the funny debate also that BYU fans are having that I've seen on Twitter is like, oh, Puka Nacua is the best BYU wide receiver to ever come out of BYU. And like, let's slow it down a little bit. Like he's four games into his year. Like what if like Kupp comes back and like all of a sudden like Stafford doesn't look Puka's way. I mean, like, I don't think that would happen, but like, you know, like let's see the full season come into effect before we start writing off guys like Austin Colley, who were awesome for multiple years. And I mean, like Austin Colley played in the Super Bowl. Okay. Like, let's see what happens when Puka is in the playoffs and like stuff like that.
I think sky's the limit, obviously. But like you said, there's a long way to go. I think one of the big knocks on Puka going into the draft was his speed, right? His 40 speed wasn't that great for a receiver. I think it was about a 4.5 something. But 2 weeks ago, I saw one of those next gen stats from his game, not this past Sunday, but the week before, on a catch and run he had, he topped over 20 miles per hour, something like that. He's got like the sixth or seventh fastest run after catch speed of any receiver in the NFL so far. So game speed and combine speed are two totally different things.
Totally.
Also, Puka runs amazing routes. He knows where the open space is. He knows, you know, where to break his routes off at. He runs very crisp and clean routes. That's why he's getting open. That's why he's there. And he's got great hands. So
he's also like, he's super physical. Like he's a big body. Like he's not one of these small guys that's like playing in the slot, right? Like he's a physical wide receiver. And I think that's really kind of lending to like the Rams offensive style that they play as well. And it'll be interesting to see once Kupp gets back on the field, because I really just want to see that like them as a duo, because Kupp has been so like hampered by injuries throughout his career. And I'm interested to see how like a physical wide receiver like Puka, provided he stays healthy as well, like how they can kind of like help each other out, become like the best versions of themselves. So, I mean, just imagine like those guys like sharing the same amount of targets, and you're not spreading the ball around to like, you know, the Tutu Atwells and Van Jeffersons of the world, which like those guys are decent, but it's going to be fun to watch them continue on throughout the season. But Sam, let's take a quick break and then we will come back and discuss your three stars of the week. Welcome back to the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. Sam, we teased it before the break, and now it is officially time for you to unveil your three stars of the week.
Okay, I will unveil my three stars. I'm going to start, though, with my honorable mention.
The new thing for the 2023 season, the honorable mention.
The honorable mention, not quite a star, but he deserves some recognition.
Such this a cheater, week is... Sam. Can't hold you to three.
Hey, this is your guy. I'm going to give an honorable mention star to Blake Freeland. First career start in the NFL for the Indianapolis Colts. Good for him. Can't wait to see where his career goes. There's not a lot much more to it than just that. It was cool to see Blake Freeland in an NFL uniform on the field. And then after the game, trading jerseys with Puka, his college teammate, a little jersey swap there. So a little shout out to Blake Freeland as my honorable mention.
I will say, just let me add this real quick.
Yeah.
He played much better in the second half. He was getting kind of destroyed there in the first half. I think he settled in nicely. But the interesting thing is he played left tackle at BYU. He's also played right tackle, but the Colts brought him in as a right tackle, kind of a swing tackle as well. But he started at left tackle yesterday. So I think that like it's that balance of, hey, like those are two different positions, like obviously, but like to be able to kind of revert back to what he's used to, but after, you know, having right tackle forced into you, I just want to see them kind of utilize him in the same spot to really maximize his talents, because he is talented.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do the actual ones. Third star.
Third star.
Okay, my third star this week, we got to give this one a first time appearance on my three stars of all time, including last season. My third star this week, I am going to give this one to former Utah State Aggie wide receiver Devin Tompkins of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He had four targets on Sunday, caught all four of his targets, which was second on the team in receiving, 45 yards, second on the team, and he caught his first career touchdown. Devin Tompkins, he did it with like a nice little diving catch there at the goal line. If you ever watched Devin Tompkins play at Utah State, you know what I'm talking about. If you did not ever see him play at Utah State, go back and watch some of his college film, because it is fun. Like the things he did at Utah State were just outstanding. So he also carried the ball once for an 11-yard run. He was pivotal in the return game as well. Devin Tompkins, bright future. He's my third star.
I like Devin Tompkins, and I'm excited to see that they're using him more as a receiver this year, Sam, because he was just kind of strictly used last year as a rookie as that returner. He still is doing that, but the Bucs, they're off to a good start. I did not see a 3-1 start coming from them, and I really have been impressed with how Baker Mayfield is spreading the ball around, and I'm excited to see that Devin has worked his way into that mix, because you've got, you know, a definite number one wideout in Mike Evans, who's still awesome. And to be able to kind of fit him into the mix, if they can give him the ball, he has such speed, Sam, It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that you talked about it. I think in your, I want to say it was in your preseason predictions, you were talking about like the returners that we have out of the state. Devin's one of those guys, but you've got like Britton Covey, Rashid Shaheed as well. There's some speedsters that are coming out of the state of Utah, and Devin clearly is one of those guys. I'm excited to kind of watch him blossom as gets that first touchdown under his belt.
All right, here we go. Second star.
Second star.
All right, these will go pretty quick, but my number two star, because we've already been talking about him, Zach Wilson, I'm going to give him a star. I don't even know if he got a star for me. He might have gotten a star for me last season, maybe once, but I'm giving him one this week because of a lot of the things that we already talked about in this podcast. Here's some of his numbers. I'll throw this out. 28 of 39. Awesome, right? 245 yards, solid. 2 touchdowns, solid. 0 interceptions is big time. To not throw it away and while he's still taking some risks down the field, which we haven't seen a lot of. And then passer rating, 105.2. Way to go, Zach Wilson. Those are some great numbers. He also ran the ball a couple times for 14 yards, but that passer rating, outstanding. This was the first time, I believe Jeremiah Jensen mentioned this on KSL Sports Live on Sunday night, the first time in Patrick Mahomes' career that he's been outperformed by the opponent quarterback. So yeah, Zach Wilson, number two star.
Yeah, that was the only thing I was going to add is I saw that last night from Optus Stats on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it. First time in Mahomes, not only his pro career, but his college career. So that's out of 127 total starts. You can check this out at Optus Stats, including the postseason, that Zach Wilson is the only opposing quarterback to have more completions, passing yards, touchdowns, and fewer interceptions than Mahomes in a Mahomes start. Just crazy. That's a wild nuts. Stat. So
that is
good so on you, Zach.
Hopefully that's something he can hang his hat on. We talked about him being a little somber at the end of the game with that fumble and stuff, but hopefully he hangs his hat on that. So, all right, here we go. Number one star.
First star.
Okay, no brainer in my opinion. I think he's been number one star once, maybe twice this year already. I can't remember, but Puka. Puka's the number one star this week. And we've talked about what he's done through 4 weeks of the season, but this is not for 4 weeks. This is just for Sunday, October 1st. And on that day, Puka had 9 catches out of 10 targets, 163 yards. Go watch the tape of all of the routes he ran and the balls that he caught. I mean, he was just so crisp and clean, averaged 18 yards a catch, had the touchdown, his first career touchdown in the NFL. Way to go, Puka. Congratulations on just an amazing weekend for the LA Rams in an overtime win.
I think that he is really just in the perfect situation, Sam. You mentioned fit, and you can tell that, I mean, we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Sean McVay said that he loves him. You saw that after the game, gets the, he's doing all the post-game media stuff, and so he's late to the team, celebration speech or whatever, victory speech in the locker room, comes in running in, and Sean McVay hands him a game ball, and you saw Puka just give McVay a big hug.
Yeah.
And you don't see that a lot of the time. I mean, there's like that kind of relationship difference between head coaches at the college level and pro level. Yeah. And like, they're all men. It's not like a, hey, this is my older coach, I'm just a college kid kind of a thing. It's like McVay, he is younger, and so I think he has that relatability with his players.
Right.
But Puka is just like that. He has that personality, he's just fun, energetic, always happy. I think that they're fun to watch. I'm interested to see how that continues throughout the season. But Sam, appreciate your 3 stars as always. Love looking forward to that every week. We have Monday Night Football tonight, Sam, between the Seahawks and Giants. A couple guys to, I guess just one guy to look out for, because we've got practice squad with Caleb Hayes and the Giants, and then Brian Mone is still out on PUP, I think, with the Seahawks until at least next week. But we'll see if he gets activated there. But Bobby Wagner, can watch him tonight. And that's on ABC, ESPN. But next week, Sam, we've got a fun slate of games. We've got San Francisco versus Dallas, an old time rivalry on Sunday Night Football. That's really going to be a fun game to watch next week on KSL 5 TV at 6:20. But do you have any other games that you've got your eye on, Sam? I think that there's a few that I'm really interested in watching this next week. I'll just go with the one that I think is most exciting, and I don't know. Sam, I want to say your Broncos Jets game is the one that I'm excited about, but I don't know how excited we can be about a 1-3 matchup, but I'm interested to see that because you know, obviously Denver's really just they're lucky to be 1-3 and not 0-4.
Yeah.
But Zach Wilson, that is something that I'm excited to watch. But the game I'm gonna pick is next week's Monday Night Football game because you've got Jordan Love. He's coming close to home here. And I'll say that because he's close to his native home of California, but he's also close to Utah with close the Utah. Las Vegas Raiders hosting the Packers next week. I was bummed for him last week, on Thursday Night Football. I thought that was a big moment for him, and it wasn't that he played really poorly. He did have a couple of interceptions, but I want to see him bounce back from that because he's had a really nice, I won't say great, but he's had a nice start to his season. And I want to see the bounce back from a game where they got beat at home by a division rival, go on the road. Now let's see Jordan Love pick things up against the Raiders team that's, you know, kind of down in the dumps as well. And who knows who's their starting quarterback in week 5, but that's my game of the week, Sam. Packers at Raiders. Good who pick. Do you got?
So I don't know if I should feel excited or sorry for the Jaguars. They've been so bad for so long that they keep getting picked to go to these international games. That's not my pick of the week. 7:30 a.m.
Taking away home games, too, to go play in London.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, so look, the Jags and Bills, that'll be actually a pretty good game. But 7:30 in the morning, that's rough. Look, I was up early enough to catch a chunk of this last week's game, but mostly because I was curious about the whole Disney Plus Toy Story aspect of it, which was actually kind of cool. There's still some kinks to work out with it. It could be better. But my kids were engaged. They had a good time watching it. So anyway, that Jags-Bills game is very intriguing. I think that's one of the best games of the week for sure. 7:30 a.m., though, you're not going to find me waking up for that one. I'm just being honest. But I do like the Texans and Falcons for a few reasons. The you know, the local connections that we have with the Falcons, Caden Ellis, you've got, Tyler, obviously. Is he losing more and more reps to Bijan? Bijan's playing great.
Yeah,
I want to keep seeing Tyler though, and he's just so fun when he gets the ball. So I hope this situation is still a good one for him. But also, I don't want to say excited because I don't really care one way or the other about CJ Stroud. But the start to his season has been pretty fun. It's been awesome. I think he has more passing yards to start an NFL career than all but one other quarterback in the history of the NFL. He's off to a great start, and so CJ Stroud, man, he's making the Texans look like they got the best quarterback in this draft so far. And the Texans have tried for so long to find that quarterback. Yeah. I hope they finally got, I don't care for the Texans one way or the other, but I hope they finally got someone they can hang their hat on for a decade.
Yeah. And just putting a local spin on that as well, on the Texans side, Dalton Schultz got his first touchdown of the season on Sunday. And he was such a security blanket the last 2 years for Dak Prescott in Dallas. And I hope, I kind of expected that for a young quarterback in Stroud. You know, they bring him in, they're like, hey, we're bringing in a veteran guy who has shown the last couple of years that he's been, you know, a reliable target, definitely a guy to find in the end zone. And we saw that finally in week 4. I hope that that continues because, like you mentioned, really strong start to the year. Texans are 2-2. Starts clicking with Dalton Schultz a little bit. I could see them making some noise in a weird division, Sam, in the AFC South. Really, really weird. You mentioned the Jaguars, and we'll see what happens with them on Sunday as well. But good pick, Sam. I like it. I like it. I do think the Bills are fun to watch as well. Just going off your other game you mentioned. But that's it for this week. Until next week, be sure to follow us on KSL Sports on all of the social medias. I've been doing this new thing, a little locals in the NFL recap, kind of highlighting one player or so, and giving a little brief analysis, minute-long thing on TikTok and Instagram. You can find that every Sunday night. And then be sure to follow Sam on Twitter, Instagram, Threads. I don't know if you're still on Threads, Sam, if you're active on the Threads, but at Samsworth_TV. Sam is great as always. Real quick, what do you have to pitch on KSL Sports Live for us this week, Sam?
Man, it's going to be a heavy NFL emphasis because both BYU and Utah are on their bye weeks. And the Utah Jazz, I know this is an NFL podcast, but the Utah Jazz, the NBA is getting back in action with preseason hoops and training camp. So locally in Utah, we will have a Utah Jazz look at what's going on as they get going and get amped up for the season as well.
Yeah, you guys always do a great job. KSL Sports Live with Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth, the whole crew. And we'll look forward to that coverage all week long. Until next week, Sam, this has been the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com.